KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Ak Kwan. The Tlene Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. The tidelands where our studios sit are now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots, but they were once a source of food, a place to maintain smokehouses, and a place to gather driftwood for fuel. In sharing this history, KTOO hopes to honor the ancestors and the descendants of the Ak Kwan. We recognize those families who have never relinquished their hunting and fishing rights, nor their ownership and their stewardship of the land and waterways, and continue to cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront for today and for future generations. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Today, we're saying happy birthday to Woodsy Owl, who hasn't aged a bit in his 50 years. Many of us grew up with Woodsy and know him from TV and radio.
Help Woodsy spread the word. Tell your friends what you've heard.
I'm Woodsy Owl. Trees fight air pollution, noise pollution.
Woodsy's slogan, "Please give a hoot, don't pollute," was officially introduced on this day 50 years ago, September 15th, 1971, when Secretary of Agriculture Clifford Hardin launched a U.S. Forest Service anti-pollution campaign. Other familiar slogans you may have heard, "Lend a hand, care for the land," or "Never be a dirty bird in the city or the woods, help keep America looking good." Joining us to celebrate Woodsy's 50th anniversary, we have two guests from the Tongass National Forest Juneau Ranger District. Melissa O'Donnell, Assistant Director. Hi, Melissa.
Hi there.
And Julia Shostak, Lead Interpretive Ranger. Hi, Julia.
Hi there.
Hi. Thanks, both of you, for being with me today. So what do you each remember about Woodsy Owl? Was he a part of your childhood? Melissa, let's start with you.
Yes, he was. I remember seeing him on TV. I don't even remember how young I was, but this big, cute, cuddly owl with big yellow eyes and a green hat. And how does "give a hoot, not pollute" just stick in your head, his motto back then? And it meant a lot to me as a kid. I was like an earth ranger. I loved it and grew up to be a ranger. So he was definitely a part of my childhood.
What about you, Julia?
Yeah, I definitely remember learning about his four R's: reduce, reuse, recycle, and rot, which were all big in my household. Recycling and composting have been ingrained in me since a small child. So definitely remember Woodsy from my childhood.
Rot is a new one for me. I wonder if that was introduced in later years, not maybe when I was growing up in the 80s. How has Woodsy changed over time? Do either of you have an idea? I mean, I have a picture of him in my mind as kind of a pretty vintage cartoon character, but I've seen pictures now. He doesn't quite look the same.
Yeah, he has changed. The big yellow-eyed puffy one that I remember and adored and still do, he's more appealing to a younger audience, like preschool to second grade. So Woodsy Owl is 12 years old. So that's sort of how his image has changed and the way he's looked over the 50 years. And his motto for a long time was "give a hoot, don't pollute." And that's still very much one of his messages, but it's more encompassing now to a broader conservation message to be "lend a hand, care for the land" is his new motto.
Julia, anything to add?
Yeah, Woodsy's had a couple other less common mottos. One of my favorite is "open your eyes, be climate wise," which is a little bit newer and I think speaks a lot to being climate focused and thinking about climate change and what we can do to lower our carbon footprint.
Yeah. Just for fun, let's listen to another one of those PSAs.
Hi, I'm Woodsy Owl. In order to try and stop pollution, we need more help. So
help Woodsy spread the word.
Come on,
never be a dirty bird. No matter where you go, you can let some people know to give a hoot, don't pollute. Never be a dirty bird. In the city or in the woods, help keep America looking good.
Kind of takes me back. We've talked a little bit about what are some of his messages of conservation, but why do you think they're so effective and what gives them that staying power that's lasted 50 years?
I think the rhyming is a big help. And they also, I think a lot of the messaging around his core messages is really focused on things we as individuals can do. A lot of the original messaging was about not littering, which is a very easy thing for everybody to do. So I think that has some sticking power when it's something you can really do day to day, as opposed to being kind of a big ambiguous message.
What are your thoughts, Melissa? Go ahead.
Well, I feel like he had hashtags before hashtags were a thing. Like, he has these short, sweet messages that are just to the point and you understand what they are. Like, another one is turn your key, be idle free. So when you drive your car, if you're idling for more than 10 seconds, turn it off to be climate wise. So I think it's really catchy and to the point and that you remember it.
Do you think he has the ability to last another 50 years?
Absolutely.
Well, before we get too far ahead of ourselves and looking into the future, let's talk about how we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Woodsy Owl. So what are some of the plans for a celebration in your district?
We've got a lot going on here at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. Almost everything is outside and self-guided, so you can do it at your own pace. A lot of it is geared towards younger children, too. So if you've got little ones at home, definitely bring them out. I'll talk about the storybook hike, Melissa, if you want to tackle something else. We've got a little bit of a storybook hike going on our Trail of Time. You can follow along with some of the pages of Woodsy's ABCs, which all have a cute rhyme about being climate wise or lending a hand and an activity to do. And you can learn how to spell the word birthday, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, we have a few others for Agents of Discovery, which is a mobile game app that's for like older kids, maybe third up to fifth grade. It's downloading an app from Agents of Discovery. It's free. And we have a special edition birthday for Woodsy Owl. And there's 6 challenge questions going along the trail. And every single trail has something to do. Like, we have a nature challenge on Steep Creek. We've got a scavenger hunt on Nugget Falls. And the one that Julie was just talking about is on our Trail of Time. So we're kind of spread out with lots of things to do at your own pace and being COVID safe, of course.
Right. And this celebration is stretched out over 5 days, it looks like. So people can come at any time and participate in these activities. Or is it a little bit more structured than that?
It's actually even longer. It's 10 days. It goes until National Public Lands Day, which is on the 25th, which is a fee-free day here on site. And it all is self-guided. You can stop and pick up your scavenger hunt, or we have it posted at the beginning of the trail if you just want to take a picture. But everything else, you can kind of just do at your own pace, whatever your speed or time allows.
I see that there's a Woodsy selfie station that is on the map here. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so Woodsy unfortunately has to be elsewhere in the forest for safety reasons. So we have a station in the pavilion on the wall that you can come take a picture with, a two-dimensional one, since the real deal can't unfortunately be here. So it's a fun spot to see Woodsy on the glacier and get your photo if you're interested in doing so.
Oh, that does sound like fun. And it looks like there's some birthday candles, birthday decorations, and even a craft corner. So it really is going to be like a real birthday party. Can you give us any like hints or teasers about what that might look like?
Oh, man, the visitor center is decked out. We've spent weeks making various birthday decorations out of reused materials. So everything we've used is either scrap paper or what would be put in the trash or recycling. And it's really decked out. So lots of different ideas. So if you've got a birthday party coming up, it would be cool to come and get some ideas even. You can see the different crafts that we have in Woodsy's Craft Corner up in the visitor center. Some of our rangers put them together. So there's lots to see.
It really sounds like a lot of planning has gone into this. How long have you been preparing for this 50th anniversary of Woodsy Owl?
Oh, probably a couple months. And I think our original hope was to have more of an in-person event, but with just being conscious of being responsible in our community and being safe with COVID, we kind of altered and pivoted to do a self-guided ongoing celebration versus just one day celebration.
So how active is Woodsy Owl in messaging for the Forest Service these days? Like I said, we all kind of remember him from when we were kids, but is he still putting out PSAs and cartoons and new slogans?
I think less on the cartoon front, but he does have an occasional new slogan, like turn your key, be auto free is a little on the newer side. And Woodsy does have a Twitter and a Facebook. So he's moved into the age of social media. So you can follow him on there and check out what he's up to.
Well, I think that this is just going to be an incredible celebration. There really is a lot to see and do. For folks who are listening right now, I strongly recommend looking at the map and the flyer that not only advertises the event, when it's happening and where it's happening, but also where you can find all the things like the scavenger hunt, the Agents of Discovery mission, the birthday decorations and the candles, some ideas for the 4Rs, selfie station, craft corner, storybook hike, and nature challenge. It's really a lot, and it sounds like so much fun. Can you tell our listeners where they might find this?
Yeah, so the best place might right now be on your website, but it'll soon be on our Facebook page, the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center Facebook page.
It's also posted around site. So if you're here when we're open from 10 to 6. We have it at our information kiosk and inside the visitor center. But if you're here after we close, it's posted in our various bulletins that are on site.
That's great. And again, we are marking the anniversary of Woodsy Owl, but also National Public Lands Day. So I just wanted to ask if there's anything else you wanted to share about National Public Lands Day, apart from the fact that it's a nationwide fee-free day for national forests and parks.
Yeah, National Public Lands Day is a great day to go to whatever federal public lands that you have in your neighborhood, right? And we have this wonderful spot right in our backyard. And so it's a fee-free day, so everyone is welcome to come. Normally we have a $5 day pass for anyone who's ages 16 and over. And so it's a way to celebrate these lands that belong to all of us, and it's up to all of us to take care of. So a great sort of parallel to Woodsy's mottos and messages. To align those two together to end our celebration on that particular day.
Well, thanks so much for answering my questions, Melissa O'Donnell, Assistant Director, and Julia Shostak, Lead Interpretive Ranger for the U.S. Forest Service here in Juneau, the Tongass National Forest. Is there anything else that we missed? Anything else you want to add or share with our listeners before we say goodbye today?
We have
I just got a reminder.
Oh. Julia, you go ahead.
I just wanted to send out the reminder to lend a hand and care for the land. Even if you don't come visit us, you can do that every day and everything you do.
And Melissa, you get the last word.
We have prizes for some of our activities, so please come out. They have great reminders of the message that Julia just shared. It's a great way to appreciate Earth and take care of nature and just get a family fun outdoor event where it's safe to do so. So come on out and see us and celebrate his birthday.
All right. Starting today until September 25th?
That's right.
All right. Thanks again, both of you, so much for your time today. It was really fun to chat and reminisce about Woodsy Owl, and happy birthday /50th anniversary to that guy.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. You guys take care. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. The annual Artpocalypse is back, a fundraiser that has it all: art activities, good food, a bonfire, and a live art auction followed by a movie. It's being billed as the art happening to end all art happenings to raise money for Juneau Makerspace, a nonprofit which formed to provide artists with creative space. And here with us is Rachel Utzler, Operations Director for Juneau Makerspace. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for being here today.
Hello. How are you?
I'm
well.
Glad
to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for being here today. Before we get into talking about the Artpocalypse, I was just hoping you could tell me what's been going on lately at the Makerspace.
Well, the Makerspace has become, we're still a membership organization. Ever since the onset of COVID, we stopped doing all of our open open house days on Mondays, and we haven't really been doing any classes, and still are not quite there, but we are still open for membership so people can come in on their own. And so that's why I'm like, I don't want people to lose Makerspace in their perspective and in their minds. So we need to have a fundraiser, even though we're affected by COVID still. And
right.
So we don't want to have it in the space like we normally do.
Right, right. Got it. Well, we'll talk all about that, but let's remind people what is the Makerspace? What's in there? What do members come in and use? Can you tell me some of like the personal projects you like to work on in there?
oh, well, there's everything in there. And when I walk in, I actually get completely overwhelmed by how many cool things I can actually do. So I have to pare things down. I go in, I actually have my own studio also, but I go in there as a supplement to my studios, which is really helpful. Like the other day I needed to use the table saw because my tables, I don't have room for a table saw at my house. So we have a fully outfitted wood shop. We have a fully outfitted electronics room and 3D printers and CNC cutters and laser cutters. And we have craft rooms with sewing machines and lots of matting equipment. And we have, oh man, so many things, fabrics, textiles. We're donated a weaving loom the other day. That was fantastic. There's some quilting machines. We have a full-on ceramic shop too, and then a printmaking, the printmaker from UAS that we have over there. Ceramics have been firing away, actually. There's been lots of groups of ceramics that have been going on right now too, which is fun to see.
Pun intended, firing away. That's great. Well, you mentioned that there's no more open house, there's no more workshops, but if somebody comes in as a new member, can they get another member to have them to get a demo or show them how to use a particular piece of equipment?
Yes, because we are a membership organization. That's actually how we've been kind of operating. We've actually been moving into a Slack platform, which is really convenient for what you're actually interested in, because it's split into groups. So like someone was having a ceramics firing the other day and said, hey, what other ceramics have work that are ready to go? And I walked in and I showed people how to use the kiln if they hadn't used it before. And so we kind of work as a community organization that way, where the community members help each other.
That's great.
Which is really actually quite fun. And I think that what we really need to be moving into is working more with our families. We have an individual membership and then we have family memberships, which I think would be really fantastic for homeschoolers right now. It definitely has so much potential and so many tools that you wouldn't actually have at your home.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just in awe of the makerspace and all the things that are there, and all the hands-on learning opportunities are just another part of it, as you mentioned. So it really is quite
interesting. And then when I was walking around, I was like, oh, right, we even have a bike fix-it station.
Right. I didn't know that, actually.
So much stuff, I even forget about it.
So really, it has just about everything you can think of. And if it doesn't, well, I bet you could get it in there one way or another.
And it is a membership organization. So we do have some very, very reasonable membership fees too. And we're even open, like what we were just doing for the Artpocalypse to drum up some money, is I was offering free membership for a month for people that donated pieces of artwork. And so that just brought in some more members, and we stocked our art auction.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's a really good segue into talking about the Artpocalypse, your annual fundraiser. You do have the membership model, but it's augmented by the fundraiser. And as you mentioned, it might be a good way to get the makerspace back on everyone's radar. So it's coming up on Saturday, September 18th. And
yes, this Saturday.
Yeah. A lot of organizations have fundraisers, but it really sounds like you guys are going all out.
Well, yes, because we didn't want to do it inside. And then I realized, I'm like, we have the best opportunity around here is the Nickelodeon or Gold Town Drive-In Theater. Oh. And so we were renting out the drive-in theater. And that's basically what we're going to end up doing. I was toying with the idea of having an online art auction, but I really wanted to see people out and about again. And since it's a nice outdoor venue where everyone can be socially distanced and outdoors, we decided to hold it there. And then what we can do is, well, hopefully, if it all works, is that we're going to go ahead and have the art auction actually live on the big screen.
Oh,
I was
cool.
Just actually thinking about, yeah, so you can be in your cars with your auction paddle. And then I was just wondering about when it starts getting way darker and I'm not going to be able to see the numbers. So there's going to have to be lots of light flashing and such like that. So this could be a very interesting experience. And I also have one of our board members is going to be Facebooking it live also. So you could actually feasibly bid live if you can't attend.
Wow. This really does sound like the art happening, the end all art happenings. I'm envisioning like some glow sticks lighting up the paddles or some phone flashlights or something. You can come up with
good
something.
Good call.
Write that down. All right.
Will do.
So, So it starts at 5 p.m. And if I'm going and I'm walking into the area or driving into the area, what should I expect? I should expect to drive in?
Yeah. So the drive-in is right downtown in Tracy's Crab Shack, where she has a parking lot next to the Coast Guard station. We're going to be opening the doors at 5 o'clock, and from 5 to 7, we'll have the art set out on tables so you can actually see everything live while you're there. We have over 30 pieces of small pieces from members. And then we have a bunch of donated pieces and a whole Lou Isaacs collection, who actually shows at the Juno Artist Gallery also. And so we will have all this artwork set out, and we'll have a couple of activities and thinking something, throwing something, and some pendulum painting. And Pucker Wilson's will be there with some pulled pork. And then we will have some cotton candy and some popcorn, and have kind of a social event until 7 o'clock, where we will start the art auction on the big screen. And then we will just, after the auction is over, we'll go in and show a movie.
Oh, wow. And what movie are you showing? Do you know?
We are going to show Wasteland, actually. Wasteland is a show, or it's a documentary that was probably about 2003. It's good. 15 years ago, or 2008. Not quite sure. It's about the biggest landfill in the world, which is in Brazil, and an artist that went down and started doing artworks with that garbage and the people there.
Oh, wow.
So it actually ties in really well with the whole Woodsy. I need to go and check out the artwork that is being built up your last interview. I'm very excited about that.
I know, right? Woodsy the Owl, right? What's not to like? And there's a bonfire too, right?
Yes, hopefully, if it's dry enough to light a fire.
Got it.
Weather pending.
Weather
but
dependent.
One thing we do know is that we do have the drive-in rented, and we will have activities there. Everything else is not guaranteed, but hopefully it will all work.
Okay. Yes, I hope so too. But I think that you have enough like creative and crafty and handy and clever people helping you out, that it's gonna be great.
That's all what Makerspace is about.
Exactly. Exactly right. Well, it is wonderful to hear what's going on at the Makerspace. I really do encourage people to check it out if they haven't seen it yet. Is it possible to get a tour if you've never been before?
We might be starting up. We got to look at that. We're going to be having a board meeting tomorrow, and we'll be opening that option for getting sort of individual. I think individual tours would be fine. We're still not ready for group activities there. There will eventually be some classes, very small classes, that will be happening. But in the meantime, you can come down and just check out our art auction and things. And you can also check out our website. Everything, all the art auction preview is now on our website. So you can see all the items that are going to be on the auction. And we also have our membership information and things like that. And you can always just contact us and say, hey, can we come in and check things out? And one of us will get back to you.
That's great. I mean, it's a pretty laid back crew, so I can imagine that. Apart from like your COVID restrictions, anyone who's interested in finding out more about the Makerspace can find a way.
Yes, the one reason we are all on this crew is that we all strongly believe in Makerspaces, and so we are always going to promote just self reliance and building, and so we're not going to hinder that in any way. And sure, someone's going to give us a tour.
Well, it's a great philosophy and just a great organization. So it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and best of luck with the fundraiser Artpocalypse this Saturday, starting at 5 p.m. at the Goldtown Nickelodeon drive-in over by Tracy's Crab Shack and the Coast Guard station, right across from KTOO here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Art auction, food, maybe a bonfire, some other activities, and the movie Wasteland up on the big screen. Did I forget anything, Rachel?
I think that's probably it. You can find all of our information at www.junomakerspace.org. And then you can go /Artpocalypse2021 and find all the artworks to view.
I think that's great. I know you've put a lot of work into this. So best of luck. I hope it is a lot of fun this weekend.
It will be something. All right. And hopefully it won't be raining too hard.
I think the weather's going to clear up for you guys. That's my prediction.
I think we might be okay. I might even be able to read our auction signs.
Yeah. Well, lots of fun talking to you again today, Rachel. And I'm going to let you go because I know you got a lot of work to do between now and then.
All right. Thank you. Good to talk to you, too.
Have a great afternoon.
Have a good one.
This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Not too long ago, Lindy Miller followed her husband when the Coast Guard transferred him to Juno, but that did not stop her from pursuing her passions. Under the name of Lindy Miller, her maiden name, she writes romance novels, and under her married name of Lindy Ryan, she writes horror stories. But Lindy's wearing the romance novel hat today. Her book, Aloha with Love, came out in paperback this summer. Aloha, Lindy. Welcome to the show.
Aloha. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And you're here to talk about your books and also now your movies. But let's just start off with your story. How did you become an author?
Quite by accident, I think. I mean, I've always been the kind of girl to jot down stories and poems and notes and that kind of thing, and a huge reader. But when I was, I'm a professor by trade, so I do a lot of writing in academia with, articles, publications, textbooks, that kind of good thing. And at some point along the way, I thought, well, it'd be really great to write something for fun and not for research. So I wrote my debut novel, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. So a little bit of an accident, but a happy one for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I wanted to ask, well, I have a lot of questions for you, actually, but I wanted to ask what draws you to writing for a particular genre like romance?
Well, it's kind of funny. I am a horror person. I mean, horror is my first love. Most of my writing is in the spookier space. I also do a lot of historical stuff. I think that's the researcher in me coming out. But I think everyone needs a little bit of romance in their lives, a little bit of hope, a little bit of bright spots. So occasionally I like to put on that other hat and write something a little bit sweeter. And I also, I'm one of those people that watches every single possible holiday romance during the colder months. So it just has a way of getting under your skin and suddenly it's on the page.
Now, do you tend to focus on one genre at a time, or do you go back and forth between books, or can you be working on several things simultaneously, like horror and romance?
Yeah, I tended to work on one of each at the same time. I call it the one light side, the one dark side, depending on my mood and the weather, but I usually like to work on one of each at the same time. I can't really do a nonfiction or a historical project because they take a lot of brain power in terms of research and that sort of thing while you're working. But if I'm writing, more genre fiction, I definitely working on one horror, one romance pretty regularly.
When you have a story in your mind, the start of a book, do you already know if it's going to be a horror or a romance? Because if you ask me, there's some overlap there.
Yeah, there definitely is, right? I mean, both genres really kind of think about these concepts of hope and overcoming. And sometimes romances turn into a little bit of horror stories along the way, maybe vice versa. Usually I have a pretty good idea where it's going to go. But there's been times when I've kind of just had this character and I don't really know what their story is going to be until they start telling it. So, it's a little bit of both and neither. I guess it really depends on the story, and the character, what they want to tell.
Well, one of your latest books, Aloha with Love, is actually set to become a film. So that's pretty exciting. And I want to talk more about that. But first, I was just wondering if you can give us a little teaser. What is Aloha with Love about?
So Aloha with Love, as you might guess, is set in Hawaii. It is a story about a young architect who has moved away from her island hometown to the big city to chase her dreams of becoming an architect. But after a loss of a big promotion at work and the end of a long-term relationship, she gets word that her beloved aunt has passed away, and she travels home to Maui for family, where she discovers that her aunt has bestowed upon her and her sister this old, dilapidated Victorian home. Aunt May doesn't care what they do with the house, sell it, keep it, live in it, whatever. But before you can do anything, you have to renovate it. So Jenna needs to stay on the island for a little while and take care of that property before she can leave. And it's a little bit of a second chance story, both for Jenna, both for her sister, and for that house too. So.
And the romantic relationship comes in. I don't know if you said this, but I think I read it, that the lead character had a breakup right before she had to travel to Hawaii, right before she learned about her aunt's death and had to travel to Hawaii. So where does it go from there?
Yeah, her aunt has not only stipulated in her will that Jenna has to renovate the house, but she's also named the contractor that she'd like Jenna to work with in the form of Ben Fletcher. So thanks, Aunt May, for the matchmaking, you know. But Jenna does work with Ben, who's, you know, an island boy. And there's definitely some headbutting moments and paint spilling moments and that the two share. But the romance blossoms from there. And I think it's, you know, it comes from a really good place. It's not, you know, the girl who was just dumped running into the arms of, you know, the super handsome contractor. It's a girl who's ready to change her life and take her second chance and finds love along the way.
Maybe it's just me, but I think the sexiest part of that is that the contractor was already chosen and the lead character doesn't have to go through that, you know, painful process.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we built our home here in Juneau, and that is a pretty sexy part of the book, not to have to deal with picking the builders.
Well, some more good news is that Aloha with Love is set to become a film. So that's really exciting. Tell me a little bit about how that came to be and where are you at in that process?
So Aloha with Love, the film is finished. Should be on the air soon. It is starring Tiffany Smith, who viewers might recognize. She also played Meghan Markle in the Harry and Meghan movie. And she's the voice of Andra on the new Netflix show, Masters of the Universe Revelation, the new He-Man show, you know? Yeah. She's one of the voices there. And the other lead is played by Trevor Donovan, who is, you know, one of the top leading men in the Hallmark Channel right now. And he's also in the upcoming Reagan biopic produced by Sean McNamara. So two really incredible people playing my characters, which is absolutely phenomenal. So the movie is finished. We wrapped earlier this year, filmed on site in Maui, and should be out soon.
Is this the first time one of your books has been turned into a movie?
This is the first time. And, you know, the experience has been absolutely incredible. I love the team, the producers, the cast, the whole process has been really amazing. The producers of Aloha with Now and Oren Kamara have actually optioned another one of my projects. So I'm looking forward to working with them again.
How did that feel when you heard that someone wanted to turn one of your books into a movie?
I write for a living, and I don't know that I have the right words for that feeling. It's like, you know, it's uniquely incredible and also completely terrifying at the same time. Like, because you've built this whole world, these characters, everything in your head, and, you know, watching them come to life is, you know, unlike any other experience, but it's also a little hair raising. You know, there's a lot of ideas and a lot of creativity and a lot of changes that happen, and you have to be kind of ready to take on those changes. So
were you pretty
overall amazing?
Yeah, I can imagine so. And I was just curious about how involved you were in the process of, I don't know, writing the script. Were you consulted at all? Or was it just sort of like, here's my baby, do with it what you will?
A little bit of both, especially for Aloha with Love. I mean, on the book, I have a co-writer, Terrence Brody, who actually wrote the original screenplay for the film as well. So we worked from the beginning very closely on making sure that the changes from the book to the screenplay would be minimal. That doesn't mean that they're not there, that of course they happen. But it was really great to go in with that partnership already, you know, kind of locked and loaded. That way we, you know, really developed this vision that was going to stay, you know, consistent through both forms of media. And I am not a screenwriter, and it's a very different skill set writing a novel and writing a screenplay, very different mediums. So I learned a lot along the way about how to write screenplays, which is also a lot of fun. And then our whole entire production and directorial team has been amazing, working with the both of us and keeping us involved and valuing our notes and feedback. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
I'm guessing that at least part of the film was shot on location. And did you get to go check out Hawaii at any point in the process of making the movie?
You know, it was shot on location, a real house right there in Maui. I was not able to go, unfortunately, because of COVID and travel restrictions. Yeah. But it was shot, and I'm definitely going to the next one, though. So I'm looking forward to it. I got to keep in touch with the producers and the cast during the course of filming. So they were regularly texting, pictures and, those little kind of behind the scenes moments. But nothing I think would beat the experience of being on set in person with them. So I'm looking forward to the next time.
Well, speaking of the next time, you're based here in Juneau, which is also a vacation destination like Hawaii. And I know that this setting features into some of your upcoming stories and possibly even on-screen work. So would you like to say more about that?
Yeah, I can. This is the first time I've really gotten to talk about it. So I'm really excited. I think, writing that sense of location and place in my stories is really, really important. And at some point, someone said to me, well, you live in Alaska now. Why don't you do something set in Alaska? That's such an incredible place to be. And I thought, you always forget about your hometown as being, a place other people might want to go. So I am currently just started working on a new project that is a seasonal romance set here in Juneau. And it's actually in collaboration with Tiffany Smith, who is the lead actress from Aloha with Love. So she and I are writing a new project together that's based in the holiday season here in Juneau. So I'm looking forward to the next couple of months of what I consider research, right, as we set into the holidays this year.
Oh, that's, well, I would definitely watch that. That sounds awesome.
I would definitely watch it. So I'm very excited to write it.
So I'm just kind of curious, who do you like to read? Or, you mentioned kind of your taste in movies. What have you read or watched lately that's either influenced you or that you've appreciated that you thought was really good?
Oh my gosh. Well, one of my deepest, darkest secrets is even though I write romance and write romance films at this point, I don't read any of it. I'm like I said, a horror person through and through. So everything I watch and read tends to be more in that vein. So, I grew up on stuff like Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark? So I think that definitely influenced my tastes. There's an incredible amount of work coming out of the literary community right now in all genres. I think some of my most recent favorites have been, some of Grady Hendrix's new work. The Final Girl Support Club was amazing. So I guess I'll give a shout out to Grady and them. I read a lot of everything, honestly. So it's, I think I read 5 books last week on vacation. So no shortage of my Kindle gets a lot of love, that's for sure.
And what about shows that you watch, since now you are sort of a part of that scene and that industry?
I watch a lot of shows too. My son is 14 and he's a notorious chicken. So he doesn't like to watch a lot of the scarier stuff. And I'm still kind of inching him into it we're on like Walking Dead season 6. Still trying to get him caught up. But last week we saw Free Guy, the new Ryan Reynolds movie. And I thought it was absolutely amazing. Watching a lot of indie horror films this time of year. Of course, we're getting close to my favorite day of the year, Halloween. So definitely queuing up a lot of the spooky stuff. And then, as soon as Halloween passes, I'll be turning on the Hallmark Channel for the rest of the year and baking cookies. The new season of Great British Bake Off drops, I think, in the U.S. on the 24th. So I am there for that for sure. I haven't been watching that much lately. I've been under a lot of writing deadlines for upcoming projects for next year, but I'm definitely looking forward to binging on TV, especially as we get back into the rainy season here in Alaska.
Definitely. That can be your reward for meeting your other deadlines.
Or, at least making them at some point. Late sometimes, better than never. But yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else that's coming up next for you that you want to talk about, share with our audiences?
Yeah. For those who might, not be into the sweet seasonal romances and like to lean on the spookier side, I've got a couple of books coming out next year. One is kind of a Southern Gothic werewolf project that's coming out in May. And then I also have my first animated short film dropping next Halloween as well, which features the voice talent of UK-based horror artist, Mr. Sam Sheeran. So that's, a little bit of Tim Burton inspiration going in behind that, into that project. So I'm really excited about that as well. But I did a lot of romance work this year. The Magic Ingredient, my first romance book, which is also set in fall, was optioned for film, as I said, by the producers of Aloha with Love. So I think we're going to be working on that one a little bit more next year as well. So keep an eye on those things.
Just reintroducing you here, Lindy Miller, based in Juneau. She's an author with some romance books that are coming out on film and a lot of other new projects, as you just heard. Lindy, where can we find out more about you or find your books?
Anywhere books are sold. So all my books are available in print and ebook at all online retailers, local bookstores, anywhere you like to buy books or borrow books at your local library, they're there as well.
Well, it's been super fun talking with you today. I know you work hard, but I think your job must be pretty fun, too. I'm sure it's a blast to, you know, to mingle with all those stars and big names and to see all of your work go up on the screen. And hopefully we'll be able to watch some of it very soon. I look forward to it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I do, too. I haven't seen the final cut of Aloha, so I think I will be just as excited as anyone else.
Oh, I can just imagine the watch party. I bet that's going to be great.
Yeah, you know, just me, my son, and the bears here in Juneau.
Well, I hope we can get some pineapple and I don't know, maybe a fun beverage as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Lindy Miller, thanks so much for speaking with me today. Best of luck going forward. I look forward to speaking with you again, and I look forward to seeing what else you do.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Have a great afternoon.